to episode 2 of the Pipe and Slippers podcast. I'm your host, Roger Kirby, and with me again is Rudders. How you doing?
Hi, everybody. I'm excited to be back here for episode 2 after what seemed to be a well-received first episode by the lads.
Should we deal with the elephant in the room straight off the bat?
We have to go for it right now.
Yeah, apologies, guys. Major foobar on my part. So thank you for all coming back and putting up with it. It is greatly appreciated. I'm still not quite over it, but yeah, there we go.
I mean, it appeared everybody was just so considerate to the situation and wanting to stay involved. And geez, it was one late night for, I think, there's three of us from England over here, so... Still drafting at 2 a.m. was quite an effort, but now obviously your team name is coming true.
Yeah, so it will. Yeah, it's going to haunt me for the rest of my life, I think. It's just one of those things, but again, genuinely appreciated. You know, you guys turning out and what was an enjoyable and an active draft. So again, cheers, guys.
Just final comment on that would be it just seemed. You almost messed it up as much as the kind of botched draft trade situation of Eli and Rivers back in 2004. It's a bit of a debacle.
Yeah, my face probably wasn't quite as messed up as Eli's when he had to hold up the Chargers shirt, but there we go.
Please, Dad.
Make it stop.
But we're in now, so we've all got a roster and we're...
It kicks off Thursday.
Yeah, so excited, just four days away.
Yeah, it's going to be a late one.
Yeah, late one on this side of the pond for the Thursday night games. So exciting to see the Hawks take on the Packers and hear that amazing 12th man again.
Yeah, they've been really going after it in the preseason with the Seahawks as well. So, yeah, can't wait. Draft grades.
So I don't know if you guys are all getting your emails from the league, but you receive a draft grade, which is a bit of a fun kind of trivial email that based on all the NFL rankings. But just wondered what other guys were getting from there.
Go on, tell the guys. Go on, the NFL scouts. Tell them.
I've got to be minus.
Go on, so that's I am. You're not telling the full truth. Though.
I am, however, now predicted to finish 12th. So the great thing is the email reads, I have a golden opportunity to exceed expectations.
That basically is a sort of a soundbite of your life.
That is it. Start low and we can just quietly achieve. But yeah, I've got a 3-11 record to look forward to.
Well, I was B, so that's kind of my... GCSE kind of high school grades, so 6 and 8 tied. Then there was 7th was where it was predicted. But you know, we're keen to find out what potentially you guys have got. We're dying to know if anyone got an A, because it just doesn't. You know, I've done 6 drafts now and I've got a B tops. I think I've come out with a 6 and 8 record virtually every time. So
I'm sure everyone else is getting the A's and the A pluses. So.
Somebody's got to have it. It's going to be the guys that have got Rodgers and Manning and Breeze, you've got to assume.
You mean the guys that have also followed Fabiano's draft strategy on the NFL fantasy?
Yeah, that's what it is, yeah. The Hall of Famer himself.
If you guys don't get an email or haven't seen it, if you go to the league, just on the homepage there online, you can then go to Draft Recap and it'll show your... Show your grade and a little draft summary for you there.
It'd be great if you guys can post that on the onto the discussion boards, just out of pure interest, and we can start a bit of a thread for that.
Cool.
How do you feel the draft went personally for you?
Personally, for me, I ended up going down a slightly different strategy to the previous few leagues we've been in this year. Been really almost at a loss in those. Rounds kind of 4 to 8 and just not really sure about which ways to go in terms of what value you get for some of the players there, and you end up maybe wanting to reach low, which is what I did according to my B-minus grade, which is reaching on Vereen in the fourth round. But
I think for me personally, in those rounds, sticking to who you like and who you also going to potentially want to root for and watch is a good strategy. You know, the ADP is there, but I think if you go purely off the ADP, you can lose sight of what it is you want your team and also to look like and feel like, and also, you know, part of the process of this is to actually enjoy it and be able to root for people that you think, yeah, you know, who's going to want to draft someone like, you know, I'm trying to think, maybe Ben Tate is the one that kind of springs to mind on the Browns, and just, you know, watching him sit behind Hoyer for the, you know, the next 16 weeks, just tearing your hair out.
Up there, factory of sadness, you mean?
Yeah. It's just not what you want. So, and he'll probably get injured anyway. So there you go.
Following on from that point, though, is that why you took Lamar Miller in that range?
Touche, my friend. Touche. Yes, it was. I got burned with him massively last year. But at the time, I think I took him relatively quite low.
Yeah, but on a plus side, Miami was obviously a train wreck last year
line has to be better, sure. So, but yeah, I mean, I kind of went similar to you, different strategy drafting where I was at eight. I took Johnson first. Normally I kind of prefer to go down the running back, you know, get a stud running back first, and then you know, fill my receiver, my team with stud wide receivers from there. So I had to kind of go a different way, which was, you know, two top receivers. I went for tight end, hopefully a difference maker in Thomas. But yeah, I stuck to my strategy and picked up a quarterback late, which is what I like to do. I think that's the deepest position, you know, and one that, you know, I really think Cutler's going to have a big year, second year in Trestman's offense. No reason to think that he won't explode, but obviously whether he can play 16 games is another matter.
That's it. The quarterback is a deep position in a 10 or 12 team draft. If you do go to the 14 or 16 teams, then you start just going into that kind of slightly unsure range, and you're hitting people like Flacco, and then maybe even Alex Smith. But yeah, that top, you're in a 12 team, being able to, I think you picked Cutler up in the 10th, and
yeah,
just checking really now, somebody else picked up Dalton in the 10th as well.
So talking of the Kleenbergs, yeah. they are my kind of quintessential kind of team. I really like the look of that roster. That is how I would like to, if I had a choice, build my roster. You know, you wait on a QB, you've got two, you know, stud running back, you've got a stud running back in Lacey. I really do like Bernard, although I don't necessarily think he's going to be a three down back. You know, you've got three real good wide receivers in Brown, Patterson, Floyd. Tight end, you're always going to, if you wait, you know, if you've got those stud wide receivers and running backs, you're always going to be a little bit matchup wise on the tight end. But no, I really like the look of that roster.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, many people would see a player in Charles Clay who's in the NFL top 100.
Because that means a lot.
In round 12 was the best value tight end in the game. But obviously gone for the four wide receiver run there, Brown, Patterson, Floyd and Cooks. Got massive upside there if they do hit and Cooks gets some targets. And then I guess just gambling with what you can do on your bench in those later rounds with two rookie running backs in Hill and Freeman, and see where they get you in that kind of range where you're just picking one player as you like and two guys. Seems this year a lot of people pick guys with potential and upside way down there, and on your bench, your rookies mainly falling.
Yeah, you don't need a hit on those guys because you're going to be moving some of those guys on the waiver wire, you know, week in, week out. What about D-Train taking Manning first overall?
It was a shock to most, taking Manning overall. As David said on the messenger there, he's tried it going with Manning first in mock drafts and trying to get him later, and it seems to work out the same, he says. But what I like is Morris, who's been kind of valued quite low this year. But with Manning and Morris, you've got a solid 1-2 there in terms of point scoring, I think. But the others are quite an ageing roster.
Yeah, and Welker's a bit of a concern. I mean, if he's fit and healthy, he's, you know, potential for double-figure touchdown, but whether the whole concussion thing is going to finally catch up with him, who knows.
That is a bit of a risk for your fourth pick. And then at the same time, you've got Gore, who I'm convinced he's still going to keep racking up the yards and pounding it away there in the field of genes. But there is a lot of talk about, obviously, the age of him and ageing running backs, and do they start losing their carries and their quickness. Be interesting to see what happens with him fantasy-wise this season, but still obviously a great player in terms of real football for the Niners.
Indeed. And then we have Wyatt, too. Solid-looking roster.
Got his choice of all the running backs on the board there, obviously, with David taking Peyton at the top. So went with Shady over AP. I think most people have kind of gone 50-50 with that in all the other mock drafts.
I still personally like Peterson, especially with Nova at the helm, but that's, again, you can't really miss on either of those two.
I think another interesting thing, second pick, picking Jeffrey, who at the time has picked him ahead of Marshall because he was still on the board. Marshall and even Jordy Nelson were available at that point, and obviously just a preference there with going with the big hands of Alshon over
Marshall.
Had
a great year last year, but whether that will see through, because there is mouths to feed in Chicago.
I do like the taking Pitcher as well this year. Pitcher's got peace days on the field. One of those quietly going about his job kind of tight ends that will score better, hopefully, in that Kubiak offense. So a lot of potential there for Wyatt.
Carl, who didn't make it the second time round, and to be honest with you, can't really blame him. But without going into too much detail, his roster's looking pretty stacked there with Peterson and Rodgers.
Obviously AP, getting him a pick three is quite good. Have you got AP, Rodgers and Marshall as a running back, receiver, quarterback trio? You can't go wrong with those three. Obviously, you've gone auto-pick in the end, so you end up with taking your defence and kicker in rounds 8 and 9, but it's not turned out too badly with those top three picks kind of really hit on.
Willie with the Hurricanes there. Do like Matt Ryan, potentially. This year I think it's they're going to see, with Julio and Roddy Whitefoot, they're going to miss Gonzalez, but they should, move that ball and be pretty potent.
It's normally seen as a bit of a curse, the Hard Knocks HBO show on them, but I think also when it comes into this time of the year, when you're seeing them on Hard Knocks, etc., you get just that little bit more excitement about the team that's being shown, and you think, because you know them a bit more personally almost, you kind of maybe reach on a few more players you see there. But I've always liked Ryan, and with Julio, if he can stay healthy, that's a great passing attack for Ryan to get points.
Gronkowski jumps out on the playmakers. That's the one that is either going to be a complete and utter bust, or he is going to absolutely blow everything away. I picked him up in a dynasty league. I love watching him play. He's amazing, but it's just a huge, huge, massive risk.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you've also got, Foster's a bit of an unknown this year, but if you almost look back to last year and you think, even the season before, you look at Charles and Foster and you think that's a great 1-2, solid combination there at the top. So getting Gronk as well in the fourth round has got massive value and potential if he stays on the park.
Very much so.
Last year even, he was going in the second or third round generally, maybe even first in some rounds, but this year he's fallen a bit, obviously, with injury concerns, but
it's just a risk, but the upside is unbelievable.
Yeah. Obviously, he's gone for the, in a way, the 1-2 punch with Brady as his QB. So.
Yeah, you double down with that can certainly work out for you.
If Gronk's on the field, that's a great strategy. So,
and then we have Steve DiAmblo, Danby, who picked up Zach Ertz a little bit. He's a big Eagles fan, so I think he jumped on top of him, and also took Jackson despite him hopping over to Washington within the division.
Obviously, no ill feeling there for Jackson.
It's not in fantasy. All kind of loyalties go out the window, and you you take the best option. But it's a pretty solid roster. The two running backs concern me a little bit, with Lynch and Jackson, with a little bit of how much tread's left on the tyres. But
yeah, obviously running back depth isn't there either, with just Bradshaw as your third running back. And then, you know, obviously an interesting move having quarterbacks Luck and Newton in rounds 3 and 5. But if you've got those two guys on your roster,
you
are hot scorers.
You can play the matchups.
And other people don't have them on their roster either. So.
Well, we've already touched on the Klingbergs. We've already touched on yourself. So, yeah. Eskimo Brothers, what do we think?
Eskimo Brothers, Anthony picking 9th overall. Love that wide receiver combo. Bryant and Green. You can't go, only potentially yours is a better wide receiver pairing with Megatron and Julio. So.
Gearhart's the one I'm interested in. I really, really want to know if he, and I've picked him up in a couple of other leagues when he's sat there sort of at 4 and 5, and it seems good value, but you just don't know if you're going to get your fingers burnt with it. But it's one with potential because he's a 3-down back. He's no one's going to steal the ball in terms of goal line situations.
That is it. You think if you just say you're going to get a 3-down starting running back in round 4, pick 40, you thought you'd be laughing, but it's obviously just a little bit unknown after sitting behind AP, and will he deliver? Eskimo Brothers actually stole Stafford from me. I was looking in that middle round for this draft, was going to go earlier with a quarterback, just because in those rounds 5 and 6, what we've talked about, didn't see much else that I liked, and I thought maybe I'll just grab my QB earlier than I normally do, and was looking at Stafford myself until Anthony took him. So obviously huge scoring potential there with Stafford, and that offense
could be off the charts. You've got Hawks repeat with, sorry, I'm cut you off there.
I was just going to also touch on the it's a good strategy as well to pick up. If you go and Rice, take Pierce as well, because see which way it's going to go, and they who
he
ends
banned
up,
isn't he, for the first two games at least. So
that works out well for him.
Hawks repeat with Joe. I really, really like the Breeze Graham doubling down combination. Unsure on Harvin. I know you're very high on him, Pop, but for me the running backs there is a little bit not convinced. Yes, Tate's going to be the number one, and potentially Jennings as well, but within those offences, I do get a little bit worried, but that combination of Breeze and Graham is going to make people, you know, wish, you know, they're just not going to look forward to those matchups against Joe, because he is going to rack up some points with those two.
That's it. I mean, you end up, last year, you can end up losing a fantasy matchup just on Graham's scoring when he scores 2 touchdowns or 100 plus, 200 yards. Type thing in a game, and you're just like, oh, you can't believe it if you're playing against him. But then to have Breeze at the top of the lineup as well, if they hit 1 week and they get that 2-touchdown game, or Graham goes for 150 yards, it's going to be huge playing against Hawks repeat.
And finally, we have the footballers with Lenny. He I think he missed most of the draft, but again, that's kind of more on me, I'd probably say, than him.
A tough night for Lenny, turning up to then be told, essentially, you're picking 12 and picking 12 every round. And I'm seeing the messenger there. We're trying to break it to him gently, but there just was no easy way to tell
him. There was no way of sugarcoating that. I believe that the phrase is that you can't shine a turd. So, yeah, there was no way around it.
and then obviously missed the start and only, I think, joined back in maybe round 10 or 11.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's not looking too bad, not by a long stretch of the imagination, and hopefully if we get a nice, you know, active group of individuals and we can start the, trades rolling, I'm interested to see who dives in and makes the first move with that.
Yeah. Lenny being a Redskins fan, judging by his logo, we should be pleased with Griffin if he likes Griffin there at the helm. And
you mean if Griffin sorts out his mechanics?
Sorts out his mechanics and
doesn't have an offense led by Jay Gruden, but there we go.
Well, yeah.
So good, I have to get good. You have to get the Jay Gruden, you know, bashing in at some point. It was just a foregone conclusion.
We're convinced they hired the wrong Gruden. They forgot who they were hiring.
The thing is that with the amount of weapons that they've got, if RG3 can recapture, you know, some of that rookie year form, there's no reason to think that they can't at least, you know, run the Eagles relatively close, because that is a weak division with the Giants and mine's gone blank. Go on, help me out.
What? Sorry, the
East.
East, Giants, Cowboys, and
Cowboys. Yeah.
That forgotten team down in Texas.
Well, basically, yeah, they are. Yeah.
It's not like we hear about them every day on the news.
Yeah, Tony's going to start thinking I've got something against them. I better be quiet. So, but yeah, I think it was a positive draft, and you know, in a 12-team league, I think most people kind of come out relatively happy with what they've taken. And again, this is just our opinions, and I think it's flavoured a lot by our own draft strategies as well. You know, I like to weigh on a QB, and that's just the way it is. So,
yeah, I mean, as you say, our opinions on these things. But overall, I found this draft to be, of the six I've done, the one where, obviously, having 9 and then 10 guys at the draft, one makes it more intriguing and interesting rather than just the auto picks. But it seems a lot of the guys had similar strategies, / they looking at the same type of players that we like with potential and upside, and I kept finding myself that guys were taking the player that I wanted just in that early round.
Yeah, I went back and I think it was about round 9 and was looking at see if Cooks was available for the Saints, and it was like, oh, he'd gone. It was like, wow, you know, someone obviously likes him, likes the upside, and he's just gone and got him. And, you know, that was a classic example.
Same with the two rookie running backs that I've kind of looked at in other drafts. Hyde, with the thoughts about Gore potentially sliding with his age and will he get many carries. Hyde and also Hill up in Cincy. Those two guys, the ones that you kind of take a punt on, and they again went one or two rounds earlier than they have been in other places where we were able to pick them up. So really competitive draft from that sense, so only bodes well for the season ahead.
You wanted to touch on something to do with to Anthony, who'd tweeted us. That actually sounds like we're doing a proper professional podcast with people treating us.
It's time now for the mailbag. So any kind of comments or messages that you might send, however it be, through the fantasy site or through email or through Twitter, in which you can reach us at Stephen Rudkin for me and at Roger M. Kirby for the commissioner. We got a tweet from Anthony, who is at Wacky.
One of our avid listeners.
A regular here. At Wakim_D'Souza. So apologies for my terrible British pronunciation of that. Tweeted us earlier just saying he'd listened to the podcast, which is, and said, great work. Are the other prize ideas, as we mentioned, we're looking at potential other awards if you want to come up with them. And he's gone with the Impotent Roster Award. So from the team that's kind of pegged to be DOA from the start. So kind of looking at all the rosters, who's got the most impotent looking roster, who do we think basically is going to be last place? And quite often that's a guy who then isn't very much of an active owner, but it seems all our guys are active.
Or so you, according to NFL,
well,
potentially.
This is what I was going to say. It's my first nomination for the award would be myself, obviously projected 12th by the league. with my B minus.
Yeah, and when's the league ever wrong? Let's be clear on that. But yeah, we'll
be careful here. Shadowy league figures might be lurking. We need to get a
poll up on that, and I'll do that tomorrow as I'm in between, you know, the copious amounts of spreadsheets of the Monday morning.
Yeah, back to work Monday. I just want to throw out one other nomination for that award, which may surprise a few. I'm actually going to say, from my opinion, and again, it's just my opinion looking at the roster, even though picking first overall and going with Peyton Manning, I'm going with David's team from just an overall look, unless Manning really does fire and Welker staying healthy. If that doesn't take off, I really worry about kind of a lot of older guys on there, and they're kind of hit and miss, and you can easily see people like Welker not playing much, Gore maybe struggling. If Manning does have a bad year, it's basically all on Manning, I see.
David, remember that Twitter handle is @StephenRuggan. Yeah, I'll repeat that, it's @StephenRuggan. Feel free to abuse the hell out of him. Just go to town on him. You know, that's low.
you do look at the average age of that side and do worry that.
No, I can see where you're coming from. I'm going to
refrain from comment.
Refrain, yeah. I'm going to use my a little bit of decorum in this instance. So yeah, I'll get a poll up for that tomorrow, and we'll try and get that hopefully voted on and see the results prior to Thursday's kickoff. So NFL news, we rattle through this.
Yeah.
More Niners, McDonald, Boone thoughts.
Yeah, just two pieces of news out from the Niners. Obviously, more trouble for the Niners with McDonald being arrested, and worryingly as well, other players were there, and just seems to follow these guys around, and you just don't need that if he's going to be... Obviously, the suspension process seems to take forever, so he'll be fine this season, it seems, and they'll probably get a decision on it this time next year.
Whoa. Have you got Twitter on? Get Twitter on. Twitter's going mental. Mallet.
Mallet's traded, is he?
Yeah. 6th-round pick to Texans, according to this.
We are a professional podcast. Breaking news. Wow. So Mallet going to the Texans. Everybody obviously predicted that from day one when Bill O'Brien...
That's why they kept him on the roster then. Because he had, well, 6th-round pick, you know. But they're in New England, are compiling picks. They've got an extra 4th now with the Mankins trade, and now an extra 6th. So, and Albert Breer here is saying that he confirms that Jimmy Garoppolo beat out Mallet for the backup job. So,
it's one of those things.
Interesting stuff.
It's not surprising from what we heard all along, but just surprising that it's now happened at this stage. And
I mean, I guess he. Well. It's just waiting for Fitzpatrick to faceplant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is going to happen. It's a foregone conclusion.
So, breaking news here on the podcast.
There we go.
There was just that other bit of Niners news with Boone finally ending the holdout with the Niners, which again is just so critical. If you judge anything on the way they've played in the preseason, that offense was struggling, and yeah, it's not about scheming and strategy so much during the preseason, but not having your all-pro guard in there is a big loss. So that's awesome for them to get him back in there.
Yeah, it's just it'll give the whole place a lift and a boost. So again, why it takes so long, I'll never know. But this is
he got his money. So
exactly. So essentially, the holdout worked, which is ominous for the 49ers potentially going forwards, but there we go. Week one matchups.
Week one is here, finally.
Exactly. Just going to quickly breeze through a couple of ones that jumped off the page to us. So for me, it was Scratch and Sniff versus the Eskimo Bros. According to the NFL, the players that are out there at the moment, Scratch and Sniff are going to take it by literally 1.5 points, but the thing that jumped out to me was the running back battle between sort of Spiller and Bush. So you've got Scratch and Sniff with Spiller and Toby Gearhart for the Eskimo brothers.
That's it. You've got the understudy getting his go as a starting job, moving away from AP, and see how that matchup works out.
But I just think that it's quite a nice even matchup in terms of the different ways that the guys have gone. So you've obviously got a heavy kind of receiver set, more base team of the Eskimo Bros. You're loaded at QB, and wide receivers looking, you know, strong with Marshall, and what you're going to get out of Cruz and Wallace is interesting. So I thought that was the one that kind of jumped off the page for myself.
Yeah, I'm looking at the matchups as well myself. I was just interested in the Hawks repeat versus the Klumbergs.
I love that team. That Klumbergs, honestly, they are beyond. Dalton
is. You've got a lot of guys there that I see you picking up in all the other drafts.
So. Yeah. I love Lacey, and I've picked up Dalton in another league when just waiting on a quarterback, and you were picking up Dalton in like the 12th round. You know, the guy was, you know, when you read everything, he's been a top five fantasy quarterback.
That's it. He gets knocked for not making it through the first game in the playoffs, but the playoffs aren't in the fantasy.
No, and he is what he is. He's thrown to, you know, AJ Green, for crying out loud. You can lob that thing up there occasionally. So, and I don't think he's quite as bad as people make him out to be. I think it's a narrative that's born out of the three preseason games, and he's, you know, served up a duck. But
I think the thing for the matchup as well for me is that just this potential that the Hawks repeat has with Breeze and Graham, looking at that matchup as well, going into that horrible dome in Atlanta. But as a defense that, obviously, a division matchup, is always got that added in.
Yeah, I mean,
intensity, but
they're predicting 40 points of the, you know, the total.
Yeah, that's the thing with those two. They're then predicted to score heaviest of the week from anybody. So it's that real potential and upside with those two, and just seeing if they do actually deliver in game one.
Indeed. Anything else you want to cover quickly before we wrap this thing up?
I think just a huge thanks to the guys that actually have listened to this podcast and found it.
I'm still amazed that people have listened to it and enjoyed it, and what they've said has been positive, because it's two 31-year-old gold guys just muttering to themselves.
Well, that's it. And the amazing thing is that actually somehow we've got 31 plays already. That may not sound a lot for a podcast, but when we've got a niche clientele of 10 other people...
Yeah, I apologise. I downloaded it and liked the sound of my own voice that much.
This was it.
Me.
I was wondering whether it was you who liked it so much. You just kept listening to it.
But, I'm such a big head.
I mean, so that's awesome to get those numbers and stats. And fingers crossed, I'm just waiting on the process to happen with iTunes, so
I keep going on there. Checking. It's gonna happen, mate. Gonna happen. We're gonna be, you know, we can quit the day jobs and venture into the podcast world. World's our roster.
Top 10, here we come. Stitcher Awards this time next year.
It's coming.
I
still don't know what Stitcher is, but there we go.
Nobody does. Sweet. Well, it's been great episode 2, and love the draft, and we'll touch back in after the week one games.
Ciao, guys. See you later.